listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again the most frequent guest we've had on this show in the many years we've been doing it, Michael Oliver. Michael's with me by my request almost every week, and once in a while he can't be with us. Like last week he missed. He played hooky on us, but I like to have him here. Why do I like to have him here? Because he's just been so darn good. I mean, he's just his track record has just been good, and I'm sure as a veteran of the markets, he has also been humbled from time to time. But boy, he's been really good. So thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Great to be back, Jay.
Great to have you. You know, I just I know that I was getting a little sweaty palms, a little bit nervous when I saw gold head down there towards those areas. It got really close to the area that you were expecting based on your momentum work. It came really close, but it didn't violate what you had anticipated on the momentum. And now it looks like we're on to something. Perhaps we're on a new bull run now on gold, Michael?
Yeah, I think the pullback was just a very nasty pullback. And you can't have a good pullback unless you do something damaging to what everybody's looking at, namely price charts. That's why we de-emphasize price charts.
Right.
So when the market came down from the 1300s and blew through 1200, it took out some prior price chart lows. And
yeah,
that's where the panic, really the emotion, really set in for, you know, the people that own gold stocks and gold itself. And like, oh, we're going back to the lows, and, you know, we're going to make a new low. That was the consensus, back to the lows anyway, double bottom. We had a number just below 1120, 1119.60 to be precise.
I did
not want to see that number. And the reason was, based on annual momentum, I didn't want to see the market go a certain percentage below the three-year average.
Mm-hmm.
I would allow 8%, but not 10%. So where did it stop? 1123. So I wipe my brow, and say, okay. And frankly, I would not have gone bearish here. I'd have just gone neutral.
Yes,
but,
you told
and now it's 12:15. So you know, in a matter of 3 weeks. So that's fine. I think we're headed back up. The key issue is you don't just look at gold. You don't just look at the S&P. You look at all four asset categories, exchange traded categories. You look at Forex, debt market, commodities, and equities. And you fit them together because, unfortunately or fortunately, the central banks have tied them together.
Right.
Such that big movements in something like the euro can have massive effects elsewhere. And right now, that's exactly what's going on, and that's exactly what we thought would happen. The foreign exchange asset category, especially the dollar and the euro, which are the two biggies out there, forget the little stuff, didn't move last year. They had a 10% box they were stuck in. And for those currencies, that was very narrow range. It was effectively a trendless situation. The dollar index went up enough to nip out about 2 years of prior horizontal highs, again, a price chart, not momentum. And the euro did the opposite. It took out about a year and a half, 2 years' worth of prior lows by just a hair, just enough to say, look, I made a new low. And nothing happened. There was no explosion in the dollar, no collapse in the euro, and it was like, well, so what? And then next thing you know, euro was 103-something, now it's 107.5. And if you hit 108, in my opinion, it's a bull. Annual momentum breaks through last year's high, and if the dollar, which is right, dollar index, we're talking about cash index, which is 57% comprised of the euro, touches 99, especially close a month there or lower, right now it's at 100 and change. So about 1% below the dollar and about a half cent above where the euro is, I think those two beasts wake up. And I think their trends go down dollar, up euro. And I think that will have significant effects. And meanwhile, the tectonic plates, as I've called it since 2015, it's now become a popular phrase, are moving a little more obviously. For example, just since this year, there's an ETF called the DBA, which is an agricultural futures ETF. Now, last year in the commodity sector, oil, gold, sugar was one ag commodity, were the strong ones. And they took the commodity index, like say the Bloomberg commodity index, up more than what the S&P went up. Mm-hmm. In fact, enough to take the Bloomberg into what I consider a bull trend, an annual momentum bull trend. But it did it without participation by the food commodities, so things such as meat, the growing commodities, also the grains, cotton, and so forth. Mm-hmm. They were just laying on their back. In the case of meat, they were going down. So they weren't participating in aiding and abetting the commodity insurgency, but now they are.
Ah.
And the DVA, where it is right now, which is an ETF of all the ag futures, basically, not just the grains, but the meats and the soft commodities, it's at a level that cannot close the month at, because if it does, it's a breakout.
Ah.
And it's a big one. And so I think that asset category is really going to get its motor going this year, the commodity category. And I think gold is going to join in again, resume after its sharp pullback. And I think the foreign exchange markets are now going to be players, which they weren't last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a fun year.
All right, so I guess what you're calling for, with if we have a breakout in the euro, then we can look for quite a bit of weakness in the dollar, and that should be bullish for gold and for silver and for the commodities.
You've got to remember, gold's done a lot. Even at 1,200 versus its 1050 low of 2015, and 1,200 is, you know, 1215 right now, is off the highs of last year. But still, that's up significantly considering that the dollar for 2 years has gone nowhere.
No, that's true.
I mean, you look at the dollar right now at 100 and change, you could have traded that price in 2016 and traded that price in 2015. It's gone nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So the gold's done a lot without the assistance of the dollar. Imagine the dollar getting weak. That would definitely assist the commodity insurgency.
Should be super bullish for gold. Michael, while we're on the topic of agricultural investments, MOO is an ETF you talked about in the past. Do you still, how does that look, and what is that about, and how does that differ from DDA?
That's a very, if you're an RIA, registered investment advisor, or asset manager, you constantly have customers complaining about, it's got to be in this market, meaning the stock market.
Yeah.
And there's ways to solve that without really being in the market, and that's by emphasizing participation in stocks that or ETFs that are related, and in my opinion, this year is going to be a great place to be, agriculturally related or commodity-related stocks. Last year, oil stocks did well. But I think this year it's going to shift more toward the ones that didn't do so well last year, that's the ag commodities, and the companies related thereto. And there is an ETF called MOO, which is of stocks, it's not a commodity ETF, and it contains agricultural industry stocks, very broad spectrum.
Okay.
That's a good place to look. I think it'll beat the market, and it probably is going up because I think the ag markets are. Also, I think this all helps the emerging markets, so I'd be looking at EEM, the emerging market ETF.
Right. Well, that would certainly make sense with a weaker dollar and all that.
And the strong commodities, which a lot of these countries are, commodities.
Producers of, sure.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
No question about it. Well, what about, you've talked about, the T-bond or the U.S. Treasuries as well as gold being a safe haven. I guess equities looking weak to you now, or you think that this might be the year that the S&P gives up the ghost?
That they fought for. If we close the week out at 2263, and we traded below there just today, it took an arm wrestling match to get us down there, I'd say you're in a little bit of trouble. The question is, a little bit of trouble is one thing, a lot of trouble is another. I've got numbers just above 2200, just above 2210 to be more precise, and down around 2183, so there's a minefield zone. Now, the top of that zone is only about 2% below the current market. So if you happen to get into a little bit of trouble that gets you into that zone, I think it's over. I think you've seen your high. And then the question only becomes, so what's the speed and the dance steps on the way down?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two minefields that I've explained to my subscribers and defined for them, where if the S&P trips on down into these minefields, we go down. And now the T-bonds are a different issue. T-bonds are a bear market, in my opinion. Since the T-bond futures traded down through the mid-160s. Right now they're in the low 150s on a rally. I think the rally is justified. I think we're going higher, like maybe into the 156 at least, maybe the high 150s. But that is a counter-trend short covering type rally. It's not really a trend indicative. And I think ultimately by the end of the year, we're going to see the T-bonds are in decline, rates are going up, coincident with stock market decline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, periodically, obviously, if you get a sharp stock market void, a vacuum or something, you're going to have a rally in the T-bonds. But mm-hmm. don't let that confuse you as to the trend. The trend in T-bonds, in my opinion, is now down big time. Rates mm-hmm. are going up. I think you could see in excess of 4% this year in long bonds. Right now, they're
wow.
just, they're around 3.
Mm.
That's significant.
Oh. Well, that's significant, and you know, a lot of people are thinking with higher rates that shouldn't be bullish for the commodities. But I guess you could have a weaker currency and higher rates would go with a weaker currency
yeah,
as well.
That's the way the pieces fit. I think yes.
Right. You know, so it's very difficult. There's so many different moving pieces, but
mm-hmm.
so we're looking at, you know, I mean, there's people like I was reading. Hugo Salinas Price, a very well-known Mexican investor, billionaire guy who's a real silver bug, and he's really concerned right now about this massive amount of what he believes that the crack-up boom is over, the Austrian phrase for, as you know, for money flowing into the system, that it's really reached its peak. And when we decided, the Fed decided it was going to stop printing money or stop its excessive printing money as it was, that was the end of it. And in fact, he thinks we're in for quite a cataclysmic decline in asset prices in general and stocks and bonds. I don't know if he thinks they're going to carry over to commodities or not. But the point is, what I like about your work and what it's really helpful to me and I think many other people who tend to look at things from a fundamental perspective is that you're blind to that stuff. I mean, you know, and you can think as well as anybody else about the fundamentals that are going on in the market, but you also know that you don't know it all, that you're not omniscient. And the markets seem to have more knowledge than even a bright guy like you has. And so, you know, we really want to thank you for sharing your wisdom and your help. I think you've been very helpful. I know you've been very helpful to me, Michael, and you've been very helpful, I know, to a lot of my listeners. And so I would just tell my listeners that you should go to OliverMSA.com and check out Michael's work. If you're a serious investor of any size, you might want to seriously consider subscribing to Michael. He gives you a little bit of information on this show, but nothing like you get as a regular subscriber. I know because I get his stuff every day, almost every day, Michael. You put something out. And we talk about the major markets here, but Michael talks about lots and lots of different markets. And, you know, I have trouble finding a time when you've been wrong. I'm sure you've had some wrong calls in your career. But since I've been following you over the last 2 or 3 years, I'm having trouble finding some. Michael, when you make a mistake, let us know, okay?
Okay, we'll do. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well,
it has to happen. It has to happen.
Yeah, and I know, and I was beginning to wonder as gold went down, but you know, it sort of kissed that floor that you put
that
in there.
Jay, that was one of the closest ones I've ever had. I did not.
Yeah.
I told investors, ignore the sell-off, because the problem is once the sell-off occurs, unless it you got to my number, which it did not.
Yeah.
I said, the problem for investors is going to be, where do you get back in? Because if it runs you out, where's your magic spot to get back in? And that is really going to be a problem for the people who dumped out recently, because it's already probably back above the level that most of the people panicked.
Sure.
So they're already got a real quandary now.
Yeah.
You know, where do I get back in this thing? And now, especially since they're burnt, they probably aren't inclined to want to, and therefore they're going to miss it.
Yeah.
And well,
I know.
That's
the problem, the whipsaw effect that can really be devastating. Thank you very much, Michael, for being with us. And
thank you, Jay.
I hope you can be with us again next week. Thanks and all the best to you.
Okay.
Well, folks, don't go away. We're going to be talking to Peter Granich as soon as we come back from break. So Peter has some very interesting things to say, experiences that he's had in his life that I think can be very helpful to me and to you as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Peter Granich.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently processing a 30,000-ton bulk sample. Novo also controls 100% interest in the Blue Spec Gold Antimony Project, where it is conducting a 10,000-meter drill program. The company has over $7 million in cash and enjoys strong shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. Dynacert is a global leader in carbon emission reduction technologies. Created for use in diesel engines, the hydrogen unit has been proven to reduce carbon emissions by up to 40%, increase torque, improve engine oil quality, and provide up to 19% in fuel savings. Our leading-edge technology is designed for tractor trailers, rail, marine, and newly developed for diesel engine cars. Reducing the amount of greenhouse gases provides benefits to the environment, to communities and businesses, and to our shareholders.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.